sing his praises and feel the Spirit of God move within our heart. Our message this morning is another message to encourage and to help and to give us each one some direction. It's a message that will stir up our pure minds to remember our God and what he means to us, to remember his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he's promised, what Christ has promised. So our scripture text this morning is found in Psalm 61 and verse 2. 61st Psalm, verse 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The COVID-19 pandemic has brought uncertainties, challenges, and changes. Social distancing, the wearing of masks, flattening the curve, and the most recent model are actions and terms to which we have become accustomed. And then there are the range of emotions, our own emotions, the emotions of our families, and the emotions of our friends. We felt those things, and we have shared those emotions. Needless to say, we are living in a very difficult time. Life in general brings us trials and tests that we have to face. Life in general. Amen. You know that as well as I do. You've lived life for any amount of time. Life brings difficulties. I'm glad for so much of good that happens in life. I'll tell you one thing. I have been more blessed than I have ever had to deal with hardship. And I hope that's the case with you. I've had my hardships. I've had my heartaches. I've known tragedy. But I've also known the blessings of God. Now, to be very realistic, we're faced with trials and tests, afflictions and infirmities. And these things can, at times, when they all come together, overwhelm us. They can overwhelm us. These situations that we have been facing over the last several weeks, hopefully they've made us more aware of our human frailties and our weaknesses. And through it all, perhaps you have asked, what shall I do? Where shall I go? Or maybe even, what's next? David writes in the 20th Psalm, the 7th verse, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What David is saying here, he says, some trust in the power of might. And they trust in the power of their own strength and the strength of mechanisms and technology and even in the might of government. But he says here, he comes right back to this thought David does. And we know David, he was the king of Israel. He was anointed, he was hand-selected by God to become the king of Israel. He was a warrior himself. But he said, we have to remember the name of our Lord God. This morning, let's stop and remember the rock of our salvation, the rock that is higher than you and I. And that word rock, there's an instance, at least one, maybe two, within the word, within the pages of God's word, that's capitalized, capital R-O-C-K. It's a title. It refers to someone. It refers to our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I worked in the corporate world for a number of years, and before I felt the call of the ministry and before I began pastoring, I worked in sales engineering, and we were always a little bit anxious when someone from the corporate office showed up at our Pittsburgh field office. our Pittsburgh sales office. And the thought was, and you've probably heard this, hi, I'm from corporate, I'm here to help. And usually that's not the case. They try to help, but they're just not much in tune with the local goings on of that office and where we have to make our living and what we have to do to make a living. I want to come to you this morning from this perspective, okay? I'm not from corporate, but this message that I am bringing to you this morning, it comes from God. And I am here to help. And if you were to ask my congregation, they could probably finish this phrase that I'm about to give you. The gospel is only as good as it is made practical. If it's not made practical, if we do not know how to incorporate it into our lives, if we cannot understand it and process it, if we cannot hide it away in our heart, then it's very impractical. It's nothing more than religion. It's nothing more than a man standing behind a pulpit and going on for a period of time, and we lose interest and we become distracted. There's more to do with our cell phone. There's more to do, amen, with what's inside our purse. There's the need, real or supposed, to get up and go out of the sanctuary. And dear one, this morning, amen, I want to tell you, amen, this message is from heaven. And I hope it helps you because it helped me. The title of our message is, What Shall I Do? Where Shall I Go? What shall I do? Where shall I go? Do we need to remember? I would say in times like this, it's good to have our pure mind stirred up. And brought right back to the Word of God. Because I believe I said this last week on Easter Sunday. We need to remember His words. We're hearing so much. We still hear so much. There's so much. Daily pressers from the president and his medical advisors and the news and the newspaper and what have you. Just on and on and on. Man, some of us are really captivated by it. I know it. Some of us are real news junkies. But those things are not going to help our faith. Amen. Paul reminds us in Romans, the 10th chapter, and we're not going to go there, but faith comes by hearing. And that by the very word of God. It's by the word of God. And we need to be people of faith during this time. Amen. We are surrounded by a cacophony of noise that comes from government, and it comes from the news, and it comes from neighbors and friends and whoever. But to clear our minds, man, we need to get, amen, into the word of God. And then this word, it needs to be made practical in our lives. Our scripture says, when my heart is overwhelmed. You know, that is nothing to feel embarrassed over. We're human. We're men and women. It's the way God made us. And as I said in some of my opening paragraphs, hasn't this time made us more aware, and if we were not already aware, of our human frailties and our weaknesses? And hasn't it caused us to realize there's a greater power, and oh, how we need that greater power? Our hearts get overwhelmed. They get overwhelmed with many things. Life in general, as we've already stated, it brings trials and tests, situations and occurrences, which seem overwhelming at times. I've been there, you've been there. We will be there again before it's all over. Amen. It'll be, there'll be things that come into our lives that will just seem overwhelming. Now, let me give you a little advice. The best thing for each of us to do in good times and bad times is to obey the Word of God, to love God, and to trust our Heavenly Father. Amen. Brother Carnes, that's too simple. Pastor Carnes, that's way too simple. Well, let's not make this difficult. Why should we make this more difficult? Why should we make faith and trusting in God more difficult? We're already facing difficult times. This is a pretty simple gospel. Amen. Christ intended it to be that way, that even babes could understand it. He said these things would confound the wise. They would confound, the ones that have intellect and are wise. Amen. He also says that not many of the rich will find this, but just common people. Man, can the rich be saved? Absolutely. Can the wise find salvation and have faith? Without question. But we do not need to take the word, amen, and make it more complicated. We do not need to make faith something more complicated. We're already dealing with complications all around us. Amen. Difficulties all around us. Troubles and trials, situations and occurrences. Our hearts may be overwhelmed. Amen. You may have gone into this pandemic facing difficulties, afflictions, disease, heartache. Amen. Who knows? You may have dealt with tragedy prior. You may have dealt with tragedy since. But the best thing for us to do, in good times and bad, is to obey God, to love Him supremely, and to trust Him. To trust Him fully. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." That'll stand. Amen. That'll stand. You say, "Preacher, you use the Old Testament quite." I use the whole Word of God from the Old Testament to the New. Why not? Why not? It's God's Word. It's God's testimony to us. Amen. It's His testimony to us. And here we're told, you need to love the Lord thy God with everything. With your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with all your might. In John 14 and 15, as we fast forward into the New Testament, Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Again, man, the best thing for each of us to do in times that are good or times that are bad is to obey, to love, and to trust our Heavenly Father. If you love me, you love Jesus? I believe you do love Jesus. I believe you care about your soul. I believe you need Him to help you during this time, or else you wouldn't be listening or you wouldn't be watching. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's too hard. People say, too hard to keep the commandments of God. No, it isn't. It isn't. One time I felt the same way. One time I thought it was too difficult to live for God. But there was a heart change take place. Amen. And after that, after my heart was saved and I was redeemed, everything when it came to God was put in new light. Man, the old man passed away. Behold, all things, Paul writes, all things become new. It's not too difficult. Trust me. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, back to this thought of trusting the Lord in good times and bad times. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." There it is, completely, completely. You got to give Him everything. Amen. All about you, the man, all about you, the woman. Amen. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Now we're getting to our subject matter of our title. What do I do? What shall I do? Where shall I go? To whom shall I go to? Amen. Well, it says here, one thing you don't need to do is lean to your own understanding. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Do you believe this? This is a promise. This is a promise. Promise found in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. We are told what we should do. Here's the practicality of it. And then here's the reward of faith. The reward of faith is, amen, He shall direct thy paths. Direct our steps. Give us direction which way we should go, whatever it might be. Amen. whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our home life, whether it's in our associations, whether it's in our businesses, whether it is in our employment, and whatever it might be. He will direct our steps. The request is, he tells us, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge him in everything, and he will direct our steps. He'll direct our paths. And even with this knowledge, the pure mind must be stirred up to remember that all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Paul writes that to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. You can look it up later. All the promises of God in him. In whom? Christ. Christ. Christ is the word of God become flesh. Amen. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Our minds have to be stirred up. That's why there's preaching. Man, that's why there's preaching. Our minds need to be stirred up. I'll tell you, if we had a steady diet of everything we've been listening to all week without coming to church, without hearing the word of God, what miserable creatures we would be. Amen. There's no hope. The world, the stock market, the world, they're waiting for a vaccine and they're waiting for a cure. And I hope the vaccine comes, and I hope the cure comes, but it could be some time, and we hear of certain drugs that appear to be helping knock this thing down and help people to recover more quickly. I'm glad for all that. We look for a hope. We as people that are in distress or in trouble, amen, we're always reaching out for a hope. We want to grasp onto something. Dear one, our faith can reach out. By faith, we can reach out and we can grasp the very hand of God. Amen. We sang, I'll keep holding on to Jesus. Man, need to get a hold of his hand. Amen. Peter said as he's writing, he said, as long as I am in this body, as long as I am alive and preaching the gospel, he said, I will find it very necessary, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I will find it very necessary to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. That's the importance of the gospel. It stirs up our minds. Amen. Helps us to think faith. Helps us to talk faith. It helps us to practice faith. It brings us up. Brings us up out of our depression. Brings us up out of our perplexities. It brings us up out of our fear and our anxieties. Amen. The word of God will do that. Faith, thank God, faith is strong. Amen. Thank God that it's referred to as a shield, the shield of faith. Our minds must be stirred up to remember our way to the rock, capital R-O-C-K, the way to Christ. Because it's times like these difficult times, times where we're getting new phraseology thrown at us. I've already mentioned social distancing and wearing masks, gloves. What else is there? The new models and things such as that just being thrown at us. All these things can cloud our view and make foggy the way to the rock. Oh, I tell you, we need that blown out of the way. And God's willing to do that. Just like he sent a wind, amen, and dried up the sea, that Israel could cross the sea, not in mud, not in muck, amen. They crossed that sea on dry ground, amen. Pharaoh and his army were in hot pursuit, and God made a way. He told Moses, he said, you tell the people, just stand still. Stand still. Enough of the clamor. Enough of, amen, the murmuring, enough of the negativity. Just stand still and watch, won't you see the salvation of the Lord? And he set a wind. And whether it was him just blowing, amen, his great breath, amen, I'll tell you, his breath, just the breath of God has done miracles. It was because of the breath of God, amen, that Adam became a living soul. He breathed into Adam after he had formed. I tell you, the breath of God does wonders. Man. So he sent a wind, and the sea was lifted up on both sides, and Israel, amen, they escaped. Amen. They crossed over on dry ground. I don't believe that, preacher. Well, I do. Why do you believe that? Because it's within the pages of God's word. Amen. We need God to send a wind, and he's sending a wind this morning. Amen. Thank God. The word of God. We need him to blow in our lives and cause all this, amen, to mound up on both sides. All this trouble, difficulty, trial, affliction, what if, where should I go, who should I turn to? Feelings and emotions, our own, our family, our friends. Just lift it up on both sides. And for us to realize there is a way, amen, there is a way to the rock. A way to the rock, Christ Jesus. There are a lot of overwhelming factors. I probably don't even need to tell you these things because you've been living them. You've been experiencing them. Wherever you are this morning, man, you've been experiencing these things. I know that. I'm aware of it. Let's try to make this practical, okay? The heart and mind can be overwhelmed due to the pressure of heavy trials. Heavy trials. And we know the trial. We know what we're dealing with as a nation and a state and a county and even our congregation. Those of you that own businesses, you know what you're dealing with. Those of you that work, those of you that have been laid off, those of you that are self-employed, you have no place to sell your products or to practice your trade. You know what those things are, and they're difficult. They're real. They're very real. It'd be so easy to say, just pray. Just pray. There's more to it than that. It'd be so easy and so insensitive, amen, for me to say, well, I'm praying for you. We got to do more than just pray. Praying is important. But we have to pray, amen, with that empathy. And we have to pray with that true feeling within our heart and make sure that prayer is fervent, make sure it's effectual, and then we'll be able to see God move in our behalf and the behalf of people that we love, in behalf of our nation and our commonwealth and our congregation. Heavy pressures. You're dealing with them right now. You're dealing with them right now. Amen. How am I going to make my bills? How am I going to keep my doors open? Will I have a business? Will I have a business to go back to? Will I have a job to go back to? That's just some of the pressures. What if I catch this thing? What if my wife catches this thing? What if my husband catches? What if my children catch this thing? What if my 84-year-old parents, which I have my mom and dad, they're still alive. What if they catch this thing? I'm concerned over them. Call them just about every day. Heavy pressures, heavy trials. Let's go to Psalm 27. The pressure of heavy trials can overwhelm the mind and can overwhelm the heart. Psalm 27, verses 13 to 15. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, here's a good scripture. You need to highlight that. You need to write it down and refer to that. When you're feeling weak, when you're feeling overwhelmed, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Amen. Be patient. Amen. Wait on him. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The heart may feel overwhelmed and weary from temptation, to which the very best man, the very best woman is subject to. Amen. Temptation comes in the lives of all of us. It came in the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, at his weakest moment. He was tempted sorely by the devil, by Satan himself. but he didn't sin. And he held faithful. And when the devil came, amen, trying to twist the scriptures and pervert the gospel, right in the presence of the word, right in the presence of the word Jesus Christ, man, Christ, even though he was weakened, he had been fasting, he was in a weak physical condition, he was still able to recall the scriptures and put that word upon the devil and the temptation which, amen, the devil was presenting. Our Savior was subject to temptation, but he was victorious. Every one of us subject to temptation, but we too can be victorious. We don't have to fall to temptation. We don't have to be overwhelmed by whatever temptations are presented through these difficult times. And there are many. There are many. Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now Paul's writing to his brethren, the Hebrews here. I'm reading from the King James, which I primarily preach from. With an occasion, I refer to the Amplified. But he's saying here, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What's he saying? Conversely, he's saying, well, we do have a high priest. We have a high priest that is touched with every feeling of our infirmities, every trial, every test. Amen. Every situation, every hardship. Amen. If it matters to us, it matters to Jesus. If it matters to us, it matters to Jesus. He was in all points tempted, like we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come boldly. Man, come boldly where? Come boldly to the rock. The throne of grace, that's where the rock sits. Amen. He rose again the third day. We rejoiced last Sunday, Easter Sunday. What a fabulous Sunday that is. Amen. The resurrection is central to all that we believe as Christians. We rejoice, we celebrate it. That resurrection Sunday. He rose again. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He doesn't sit there doing nothing. He reigns victorious, but he doesn't sit there doing nothing. He still works in our behalf. Amen. Amen. And we can come boldly to him. We don't have to be sheepish. Man, we don't have to back into it. We can come boldly. If our hearts condemn us not, the word says, then we can have confidence towards God. And we can ask what we will, and it shall be given to us. How positive. How positive. How upbeat. Amen. We need to remember this. We need to remember this. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is time of need. We need to come boldly. We need to pray boldly. We need to be consistent. We need to be continual in our prayer. Amen. Pray that God will help us. Over in Hebrews 2, verse 18, it says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, and Paul's writing again about Christ, the rock, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What's that word succor mean? It means to aid. It means to relieve. It means to help. I told you, he doesn't. He rose again, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, but he's just not sitting there. He is aiding and he is helping, and the word says that he is interceding. He is our intercessor. Amen. He intercedes, amen, between us and the Father, and he provides things that money can't buy. Amen. He'll lift us up out of our anxiety. He'll lift us up out of our stress. Amen. He'll help us when our heart is overwhelmed, when we are weary because of the trial, the test, the temptation. Thank God he will aid us and he will relieve us. Amen. And the word says he will help us, and that right early. But we have to get to them. We have to get to them. Amen. We got to get before God. Over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul writes in his first letter to the church at Corinth. I'll take the latter part of this verse 13. It says, "But will the temptation also make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it?" The first part of that says, it says that there is no temptation taking you, but it's common to everybody else. Everybody else. Amen. We look around us today, everybody else is going through this. Amen. Everyone else is dealing with this in one way or the other, are they not? But God is faithful. Let's not forget that. God is faithful. Amen. You can get hung up on China, and you can get hung up on our government and what's going on in Europe and the death count in Italy and even the counts in our county. You can get hung up on all these things. But you have to remember, God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's boil it down. Let's not make this too hard. God is faithful. And because he's faithful, amen, he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. I can't take it anymore. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. There is no reason to do anything drastic. There is no reason to do anything that is threatening that would hurt you or hurt others. Amen. Amen. You can take it with God's help. God is faithful, and he'll not suffer anything to come upon you that you're not able to bear. You know why the world has a hard time bearing up under any calamity? And we see it today. You know why the world has a hard time bearing up under calamity and distress and this pandemic as a whole? Why they have a hard time bearing up? Why they're so panicky? Because of a lack of faith. Well, that's rather simplistic. I told you, let's make it simple. Let's make it simple. If people had more faith in God, there wouldn't be a need to panic so. If they knew how to pray and they knew how to access God and they knew how to come boldly to God to ask for his help, there wouldn't be the extremes, amen, of such talk and such actions. Obviously, we need to do the things that are necessary to keep us protected and watch over our family, watch over our congregation. That's why I only have a handful of people here today. That's why you're listening or watching from home. We're doing the things that are necessary, man, because of our concern. We're taking the caution, following the directions that have been given to us. But there's no reason to have panic sweep over us. There's no reason, amen, to be eaten up with fear and anxiety. And when the world, amen, is so anxious and so fearful and so desperate, and that leads to other things, we should be looking to God. We should be looking to the God that is faithful, realizing he won't allow anything to come upon us that we're not able to bear. Amen. That no matter what we go through, he's going to make a way for us to escape. I'll tell you, it's far better for him to make that way of escape than for us to select that way of escape. Amen. The heart can be overwhelmed by anxiety and from the anticipation of trouble. Amen. Of trouble. Trouble today, trouble tomorrow. For a while, that's the way it was going, and it's the way it's still going in some places in the country and in the world. This pandemic, it's just going around the globe. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Well, I'm expecting trouble. Is that a comment based on faith? And if there is trouble, how are you expecting to deal with it? Job says, and you know Job. Job was a rich man. God had blessed him, and then there was a debate between God and Satan. And Satan had told God, that Job will fail you. Job will curse you. Just take his blessings away. God had great confidence in Job. He said, no, he wouldn't. When overwhelmed, what do you do? Our scripture text says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We read another passage of scripture that says, wait. Wait on God. And so, when overwhelmed, what do you do? We read a passage in Hebrews where Paul is saying, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for what you stand in need of. Amen. What do you do? Do you go to the rock? Do you go to Christ? Do you go to the Word? Have you opened up your Bible over the last several months, or last several weeks of this trial, this difficulty? Have you opened up your Bible? Have you got into the Word of God? Have you read the Word of God? A lot of promises in here. Amen. A lot of advice in here. Don't make it too hard. Don't make it difficult. It's easy to understand. Amen. Babes can understand this. Amen. If I can understand it, you can understand it. If you and I can understand it, someone else can understand it. That's the way God made it to be. He didn't make it hard for man to understand this. And he didn't make it to be for a lot of different interpretations. It's very basic. It's very simple. It's very sure. It's not confusing. When overwhelmed, what do? Do you go to the rock? Do you go to Christ? Do you go to the Word? Do you open up the Word of God? My Bible's pretty well worn. This is the Bible I preach out of. I have it highlighted. I have it marked as certain scriptures that are special to me. Pages have fallen out time and again. I have it taped together. I do not plan on changing my main Bible at this time. I'm too old. This Bible's going to see me through. But this Bible is dear to me. And it's a Bible that I've opened not only when I preach. I open when I study. I open it other times when I just need to hear from God. So do you go to the rock? Do you go to Christ? Do you go to your Bible? Is the rock your first option? Now, this is question time. Is the rock your first option? Who do you go to first? Who do you go to first? We ought to go to God first. Amen. We ought to go to our Heavenly Father. We ought to go to Jesus Christ. To whom do you go first? Where shall I go? What? Do you go to the rock first? When you're overwhelmed, do you go to the rock? Is he your first option? If not, what is? If not, what is the first option? Is telling Jesus your first impulse? Some people, whenever problems, troubles come, most, not all, most. Some keep things buried deep within them, and that's unhealthy too. That's unhealthy, wear things around without discussing them, talking to them. But most want to tell somebody, and they want to tell somebody that's close to them. And that's not to be embarrassed, nothing to be embarrassed about either. That's the way we're made. Most of us are made that way. We want to tell somebody. What's wrong with telling Jesus? What's wrong with making him the first one that you go to? You're in first impulse. Amen. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. What should we do? We're going to go to God. We're going to get on our knees. We're going to pray. And if prayer alone doesn't help, we're going to fast and pray. Because Jesus said himself, some things do not occur unless we fast and pray. Is telling Jesus your first impulse? In Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Yeah, he spoke a parable right after this, and it was about the widow that was seeking to be avenged of her adversary. She went to a judge, which was austere, and he was a tough judge. He had a reputation for being a tough nut, if you will. And she just kept going to him. He says to start out with this parable, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to turn coward. Not to lose heart, not to give up. Nothing worth giving up here. No, there is nothing we are going through and nothing we will ever go through, dear one, that we should give up, we should do anything drastic. Man, we should look to our Heavenly Father. He loves us, we should love Him. When overwhelmed, does talking to the pastor ever cross your mind? Talking to the man of God, talking to the pastor, getting counsel? Amen. It says in Jeremiah, I'll give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Does talking to the pastor ever cross your mind? When overwhelmed, do you find yourself asking the questions, what shall I do? Where shall I go? What now? What now? The psalmist said when his heart was overwhelmed, he went to the rock. The rock, Christ Jesus, implies strength and durability. Amen. How are you with your geography? The Rock of Gibraltar. It's still standing. It's still standing. That Rock of Gibraltar has been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years. It's been there. Amen. The Rock of Gibraltar. I believe it was Prudential. The Prudential Insurance Company used to, maybe they still do, use the Rock of Gibraltar as a logo. It stands. It stands. It's sure. Amen. It implies strength and durability. The Rock, Christ Jesus, is just that. We're going to close with this scripture in Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8. Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. What shall I do? Where shall I go? We've been reminded this morning, when our hearts are overwhelmed, we need to let the Word and the Spirit, we need to let the preaching of God's Word lead us to the rock that's higher than you and higher than me. We leave our thoughts with you.